Bibles this morning and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I shared our message last week from chapter 4 of Philippians. This is a tremendous book if you're looking for a book of joy. And if you want your life to be a joy, read the book of Philippians. If you ever get downtrodden or need an uplifting, read the book of Philippians, because it's filled with joy. So this morning we want to shine brightly for Christ, and if we have joy, we can do that in our lives, no matter what our situations are. So beginning with verse 12, follow along with me. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How many of you are doing that each day? You're working out your salvation? Well, we got to work on it, don't we? Not to be saved, but you work it out knowing that we're in the will of God. Now, verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Nobody does that, do they? No, nobody does that. Not on purpose, right? So that, yeah, Paul says, so that you approve yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now there, Paul is talking about lights again. We are to be lights, little lights. Jesus is the big light, right? And we are to be the little lights to shine with bright light. Okay? Now in verse 16, holding fast, and we need to do that, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, here Paul says, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. In verse 18, you too, I urge you, or I beseech you, encourage you, is what he's saying, rejoice the same way and share your joy with me. And I'm sure Paul would say, not only with me, with everyone that you meet. So we want our lives to shine brightly for Christ. And this letter, as I said, is all about joy. We're not always happy, but we can be joyful in the Lord because he lives in us. It's like bells keep ringing each time we study or each time we go to the Word of God. It jumps out at us. It's showing us. It shows us pictures. It shows us what we need to be doing in light of his word. It's like light shining in the midst of a deep, dark world. And when it comes to finding true joy, God's ways are higher than the ways of the world, much higher. And Paul reminds us here in Philippians that joy is putting Jesus first, others second, and guess what? Yourself or myself last. Okay? Now, going back to verse 17, it's talking about, Paul said, I'm already offered up upon as a sacrifice. And he's talking about a sacrifice that can be used of God. And we know they offer sacrifice in the Old Testament for sin. He's talking about a sacrifice of giving oneself in service to the Lord. And we do that in a small way, but we need to do that even in a greater way, as Paul was speaking about this morning. So this is a figure of speech making reference to the Old Testament drink offering, like in Numbers and Leviticus, where they practiced this and made it known to those who needed to come to the temple to make sacrifice offerings for their sins. But as a burnt offering and meal offering were being consumed by the fire, the drink offering was being poured out upon it. And it immediately evaporated. It just disappeared. So, all that is left is the original sacrifice. Okay? Now, Paul uses this illustration of himself saying, I want to be poured out for Jesus, where you don't see me or give me glory, but all is to Jesus, his. I am his sacrifice. And he's encouraging the church of Philippi to do the same. He says, practice what I practice. Follow me. Do as I do. He said, not because of me being Paul, but because I'm following the one who gave his life for me. Now, this brought Paul great joy. And it should bring each and every one of us great joy when we're serving the Lord. And it's the opposite of what the world has taught us. See, the world doesn't teach us this, because they're painting a lot of negative things out in the world. And a lot of the media and stuff catches on to it, and they pass it on. But we don't have to do that. We are to have joy. So Jesus is our example, and he is far best as our example. Joy comes from the sacrificing for others, not by competing with others. So we're not in competition against each other, but we're competing with each other. Christ won the battle, guess what, without a sword. Remember, he told Peter, put up your sword, Peter. But Peter whacked off one of the guard's ears, didn't he? When he came to get him there in the garden, he said, put up your sword. We're not doing this, Peter, this way. I'm going to the cross. And I'm glad he was willing to do that on our behalf. So he defeated hatred with love. He won by surrendering. So the drink offering isn't only a word picture. It paints for us. In verse 15, if you look at verse 15, we are like suns in the family, stars in the sky, shine as lights, as Paul was talking about, luminous, heavenly bodies of the sky. Now, he's deposited the light in us that we might share to this dark world. See, he said he is the light of the world, and we are the little lights of the world. But then he commanded us to be the lights of the world, to be like him, and to let his light shine through us. See, we're walking in darkness because of sin, the world is. But because of Christ, we are walking in the light with him to share others with others. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it talks about, it says, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, when you're born again, the light came on. I mean, the burden was lifted. And what a great feeling that is when the sin that you carry around so many, many years, and then when God saved you, it's that light came on. You recognize that you were saved, that God had a special purpose, anointing in your life. And this yet is another joy bell that rings in this letter, joy. And the brighter you allow your light to shine, the happier you will be. Now, let's look at three characteristics here about letting our light shine brighter for Christ. First of all, light shines unless it is hindered, right? According to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and I like this. This is part of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And I can just imagine all the people that were gathered there. And of course, the disciples, Jesus wanted his disciples to be included in this because he knew that they was going to have an awesome responsibility and they really need to listen because they was part of the crowd at one time. But then he called them out. He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And they were just ordinary men going to do extraordinary things for God, just like you and me. Now, we're just ordinary, right? There's nothing really special about us other than that we're saved by the grace of God. That's what makes us special. So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." And in verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." So that's the only way that men can see our good works, if our lights are shining. If the intentions are working out our salvation, as Paul was saying, and then men will see, or people or the world will see the good works or the good deeds God is doing through us. See, we can't do it on our own. And that's why in John chapter 15, he tells us that we must abide in him. We got to abide in something, don't we? Why not abide in Christ? Because without faith, without abiding in him, it's impossible to do anything. So verse 16 said, "Let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I want to go back to verse 14 because it's important to us to see why Paul called out the two bushels that hinder light. Grumbling. Grumbling is one, and complaining, but he points those out. Grumble is one who, those words that sound like what it really means. It's like a buzz, or it could be like a thud. You hear it, you know, buzz or a thud. It's like you tell your children to do some chores, and they walk away, and you hear them go, like that. Your child ever do that? You know what that is? Well, you've probably done it yourself. We've all guilty. We've done it at one point in time, and even adults do it, probably when their spouse says, "Will you do this for me?" It's always in a nice way, though, right? But the is not very nice. I'm getting seeing some nudging out there, so you got what I'm saying. So what that is, it's an undercurrent of complaining behind the scenes. That's what that is, okay? You know, Jude has something to say about it in verse 16. There are grumblers, complainers, walking after their own what? Desires. That's not the verse, is it? But that's what it says there in Jude 1:16. There are grumblers, complainers, walking after their own desires or lusts. See, this is so unbelieving of Christians, unbecoming of Christian, because it's the opposite of praising. It's being negative when we have so much to be positive about. In verse 14 again, complaining is actually an outward sign that we aren't right inwardly with God. Paul is saying disputing means our argumentative. That's what he's saying here. just as some love to complain and some love to argue for the sake of arguing. I do believe that sometimes. A man, for instance, a man went into this building. Actually, it was a Bass Pro shop. And all the people were there admiring all the animals that were displayed there. And all the people were kind of fixated on an owl that was perched up real high. And this one man began to complain about it. He said, "That's one of the worst taxidermy jobs I've ever seen. Look at those fake eyes. Legs are turned wrong and the feathers are misshapen." And all of a sudden, the owl turned his head and it winked at him. Well, I guess that shut him up, didn't it? That shut up his complaining. But we know owls can turn their head all the way around. We can't do that, can we? He ought to try that, probably. But look at verse 15 again. It shows us three things that will help our light shine more beautiful. You see, it says, there it is up there. Blameless says, "I am sorry I was wrong." How many of you have ever said that? "I am sorry I was wrong." I've had to say that. Yeah, and it's okay. It makes you feel better inside, right, when you're willing to do that. Yeah, we ought to practice that each day. Yes, we ought to do that more often. And blameless doesn't mean that you don't do wrong, but that when you do, you make it right. And they can't point an accusing finger at you, but it's saying, you know, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." Difficult words even for the Fonz when, you know, when he was around. So we could restore so much of our joy if we could just learn these words for, you know, our spouse or our kids, co-workers, or even with our Christian brothers and sisters. What a different world the world would see us, you know, as a people of joy. Now, it's humbling at first to do so, but oh, the joy that floods our soul, or the soul. Don't we sing that song occasionally? Oh, the joy that floods my soul. And that goes right along here with what Paul is saying here to the Philippians. Now, let's look at innocent. Innocent is different than blameless. Blameless is the eyes of others, and innocent is in your own eyes. Very interesting, isn't it? Blameless is the eyes of others. Innocent is in your own eyes, and it's knowing your heart that you are sincere and that your motives are pure. So, when you do wrong, the hardest person to face should be yourself. If your conscience is intact, then the mirror should be daily confrontation for you. Let's look at reproach. Also here in verse 15, reproach pertains to the eyes of God. You think about it. Our eyes, others' eyes, now we're looking at being above reproach is in God's eyes. It means that you don't give God reason to correct you. So if we got joy, if we got a clean slate in our lives, or if we're asking God to forgive us of our sin, that means that we don't have any reason for God to correct us. It doesn't mean sinless, but rather that our sins are confessed and you are attempting to forsake them all. What joy can we have if we are willing to do that? See, light shines unless hindered by what Paul is talking about here, the bushels, or Matthew talking about the bushels, like complaining and arguing. Now, light is magnified when we are blameless, innocent, above reproach, according to what Paul is saying here in verse 15. Now, not only does light shine, but it shares. In verse 15, going back to verse 15, I'm going to hang out here a few minutes in verse 15. Light is intended to shine in darkness to take away the darkness of the world. There's a lot of darkness in the world, and Satan is behind that. He's the culprit that's pushing that. And not only should our light shine here in church, but in the world where we spend most of our time. Don't we spend most of our time out rather than in here in church? So we're only here in church for a short time. And guess what? You think you're always on your best behavior here? We are, aren't we? We should be on our best behavior whether we're in church, at home, or out in the workplace, where we work, where we go, the marketplace. Wherever we are, we should be on our best behavior. But we spend more time out than we do here. So whatever we learn here, we need to practice out there, in our homes, in our workplaces, wherever we go, because people are always watching us. They know if we're sincere or not. So, now, no lighthouse has ever complained about being placed in a dark place, has it? Because it always shines. It's always giving out light. And it's most appreciative to those who are out in sea and they can see the lighthouse. They know they're near land. You know, when people see our light shining, they know that they're in good company, or they're looking for better company. They're looking for something in our lives that will give them the joy that Paul is talking about right here. So if we don't have that joy in our lives, something is wrong. Something is missing. It might be our relationship with Jesus Christ that is missing. Jesus said, I'm not the center. I'm not first. Maybe we're putting others first and ourselves second and Christ last, but it has to be the opposite. Christ has to be first, others second, and ourselves last. So, I'm going to ask you a question. Is your workplace dark? Is it dark? Praise God that's why God put you there. Wherever you go, it might be dark. It might be some of these things that Paul was talking about here this morning, grumbling, complaining, and bickering, and all of those things out there outside the church or wherever you go. But that's why he has put you there, to take away the darkness. Because if you are a light of the world, a little light that shines bright, then we can remove the darkness in a lot of people's lives. It might not be instantly, but it might be slowly, and it might be to their advantage that you show up, that you give of yourself, so they might be able to praise God along with you. Because Paul said we're in a crooked, perverse, twisted, distorted, that word could we use today in our society. Now, Peter says in 2 Peter 1:19, you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I can imagine Peter struggled a lot with that in his life. He did. And thank goodness that Jesus walked alongside of Peter and he nurtured him just like he nurtures us each day. You know, we have his word. You know, Peter and the disciples and all of those men, great followers of God, didn't have the word of God that they could just sit down and do their own devotions. They had Jesus, which was awesome, that they could sit down and listen to, and he mentored them, he taught them, he nurtured them, he cared for them, he loved them. And see, Peter now is all of the things that he learned. You see, we got to listen sometimes, don't we? To take instructions and so forth. And then we take that, what we receive, and then we have to apply that. So we don't always like to listen, but there's pictures and ways to get the word out and that we might absorb it and take it in and digest it and be able to apply it to our lives. And that's what Peter is saying right here in 2 Peter 1:19. You do well that you take heed. You see, we got to take heed of what we receive and apply it as light, as lights that shine in a dark place. See, Paul was in a dark place most of his time, wasn't he? But did that put out his light? Not at all. Because he said, even though I'm in a cell, I'm being mistreated, you know, going hungry, whatever, the treatment he was receiving there in the dark dungeons of the cells there in Rome, he had joy and peace. And you imagine that. I want to comprehend. Can you comprehend that this morning? I'm sure he wasn't happy. Would you be happy in a situation like Paul would be in? And said he wrote this, and then Peter is backing it up of what he is saying, that no matter what situation you're in or circumstances you encounter in life, you can still have joy in the Lord and let your light shine. And too many times we let something dampen it because it don't meet our standard. Or it's not like what we want in life. See, evil has risen to new heights in our world today. And the good news is that the darker our surroundings, the brighter our lights will shine, or can shine if we will. Paul was talking about how crooked and perverse is our world today. And you know, when you look at our politics, Hollywood, homes, marriages, sexuality, abortion, economics, race, relation, and even the media can often paint a dark picture upon our lives or upon our world. But if we know we have Christ Jesus and we are his lights, little lights, we're going to shine regardless. I like what Abraham Lincoln said back in 1865. And this was during his second inauguration address in 1865. He said, "With malice towards none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right," and I would like to say, see the light. That's my interjection there. He says, see the right. I say, see the light. "Let us strive on to finish the work we are in." Isn't that what Paul was saying? Working out our salvation, working out, letting our light shine so others may see. Wow. Our lights can shine brighter, can't they, if we are willing to let them do that. Starlight, star bright. Remember that poem, isn't it? The name given to the brightest star in the night is Sirius, of the constellation of Canis Major. And the brightest star in the day star is what? It's fixed. It's the sun. And Paul drew a lesson from the night sky when he compared Christians to stars and society in the empty blackness of the universe. See, how God orchestrates or organizes and arranges all of everything that comes together through his word, through our lives. See, Paul, he grew from this. See, it's a bleak and barren skyscraper at night, except for the light of stars. See, I love going out at night when it's all clear and looking up in the skies. And I think it was Ed Antrus that said that God named all the stars. Didn't you, Ed? Didn't you say that just a few days ago? And he did. And just think about all the universe and the stars and everything that when we would look up, we're sleeping or standing under the same ones that all our forefathers, Abraham, Moses, and all of those stood under and behold. And that's why the stars shine bright as we should shine bright. See, we can help those seeking to find their way as we share the word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Psalms 119:05. Light shines and it shares. And one last thing, light sacrifices. Going back to verse 17, as a candle burns, the wax is spent, right? Flashlights, batteries, oil, lamps, oil, wicks, they all burn and they give light. And you cannot shine and share your lights unless it costs you something. It's going to cost you something. It cost Jesus his life, but praise God he did it for us. Service without sacrifice is just an activity. Service without sacrifice is just activity. And we need a renewal of the spirit of sacrifice for the one who sacrificed his all for us. I was just thinking, what if Moses says, I don't do rivers? He come up to that river, he said, I'm not crossing this. I don't do rivers. What if he'd done that? Of course, he took off before he knew that he was going to have to cross that river, and God parted it for him, and he went across because he was faithful. What if Noah said, I don't do arcs. I don't read blueprints. I don't measure. I don't saw. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do arcs. What if David said, I don't do giants? Well, I would never have been defeated, would he? What if Peter said, I don't do Gentiles. I don't go to the Gentiles because I'm a Jew. So I'm just going to minister to the Jews. What if he said that? What if Mary Magdalene said, I don't do feet? You know what that means? I don't wash feet. Some people don't even wash their own, do they? But you dare not to wash somebody else's. But Jesus says, that's a humble servant if you're willing to do that. Paul, what if Paul said, I don't do letters? We wouldn't have had his 13 letters that he has given us, which is over half of the New Testament. 27 books, he did 13 of them. What if Jesus says, I don't do crosses? Well, we'd be in a fix, wouldn't we? We would be in trouble. We surely would. Real service requires sacrifice. That's what Paul is talking about here. And then we will shine like stars, not Hollywood stars. We don't need more celebrities. And I mean servants who are spent like a drink offering poured out upon a sacrifice, consumed for the cause. And see, you, Paul was consumed for the cause. He was. And we need to let our light shine brightly in the world. If we do that, we're going to have joy, right? Complete joy. If you don't have joy this morning, you can have it, just like Paul is talking about here this morning. May we pray. Father God, we just praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the joy that you have given us through Christ Jesus, your Son. And Lord, we need to let our light shine. We need to be your living sacrifices, or living servants. Your sacrifice, we look at it as something negative, but it's a positive thing when we look at it in our lives to you as service. And Paul did. And Lord, you offer salvation to everyone who comes your way. And then we become even another light. And when people come to you, accept your Son Jesus Christ, they become a light of the world as well. So we keep lighting up this world. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally this morning, and they want to be a light, they want to be an example, they want that joy, It's the difference between being happy, but joy comes from the Lord. Happiness comes from other things, but it's not always permanent, because things change our thoughts, our patterns of way we live. But joy is eternal, inwardly and outwardly, and it's expression of who we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that anyone here this day need to make a change, a different renewal. May they come to your altar, surrender themselves as living servants to you, that they may have that complete, pure joy that you want desired in each one of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning.